What's going on, Clips fans? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know.
We just keep winning.
Sometimes by the skin of our teeth.
Most of the time by the skin
of our teeth. Sometimes we give up some points.
You know, what are you going to do?
But you know, if you're closing out games, who the heck cares?
Who cares?
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a recap of the Pacers-Clippers match from last night.
Yeah.
So a lot of really solid stuff to go through. And then today is Wednesday, which is our regular What Could Have Been Wednesday segment, where we talk about, you know, what could have happened if things turned out a little bit differently.
Hmm. What could have been?
I don't know. We're about to find out. And then we're going to kind of close things up with some general Clips talk. There's
some respect talk is what we're going to be talking about.
There's also just, I don't know. There's been some ridiculousness going on despite firm claims from Doc.
It's
coming
insane.
Mostly from, I'm talking about you, ESPN, 7:10 a.m. come on now.
It's egregious.
You don't have anything better to report on? You don't have any other hot scoop? All right, anyways, guys, I'm sorry. Let's just get into this thing.
First of all, I want to give a quick shout-out.
All right.
If you were listening to our podcast yesterday, we were looking for a fantastic couple we met in the press room. Linda and Richie reached out to us. We got them the podcast. So happy this could happen.
Wow.
I will be sending them the podcast every day.
Man, you know, you do good, good comes back.
You know, just shout-out to Linda and Richie. So the Clippers got past the Pacers 115-109.
Yes.
The notes say 155-109.
I was looking at that and I was like, that is very incorrect.
I wish that was what happened. We led by as much as 17. We almost threw this one away.
Yeah.
I will say, not so much thrown away. The Pacers played great.
Yeah.
Especially
down the stretch. Yeah, their fourth quarter was really good.
Until a Patrick Beverley ankle breaker followed by a floater after they answered. The lead was 109-112 at that point. It was really tight. Could have gone either way. Beverly came through in the clutch and then had what we just agreed on was a top three celebration of any player this year.
Oh, yeah. Are we getting into this right now?
Let's just get it right off the bat.
Okay. So first of all, highlight crossover.
Great. He was a head fake. And then Bogdanovich's shoes, which he must have sprayed with Pam.
I don't know.
Before the
game.
He's
on the ground.
He fell a lot.
We'll talk about this a little bit more, but he fell during two pretty clutch moments in this game.
Two falls is too many.
So great finish. He little kind of running floater.
Practices it every
game.
Yeah,
little teardrop. He's
every game we watch him practice that shot.
Yeah,
30 times.
Definitely
makes the shot. Walks kind of half court. Takes those dice out.
Hard bump to Gallo first. I want to say this. He hard bumps Gallo, the strongest man in the NBA. Obviously, Gallo doesn't flinch. Beverly bounces off him. You know, he's strong. He's strong too.
He's strong. Maybe the third strongest guy in the NBA. Then takes the dice out, rolls them, obviously hits a 7.
Yeah, obviously wins.
Grabs his money, hands it to Lou, they go out. Top three celebration of the whole year.
Yeah, love that celebration. I want to see more of it.
Yeah, let's get into some stats now. Let's get into some actual important stuff. Bohan and Tyreek led the way for the Pacers. Tyreek played really well.
Yeah, he did. So Bogdanovich finished with 19-5-2. Tyreek
19-5-2-2 with two falls.
with two falls, which are a stat we're now keeping track of. And Tyreek had 19-8-7 and looked really good.
We were kind of talking about when we were watching the game, we were like, what happened to that guy?
I was kind of surprised because he's had kind of a quiet season despite, like, I was telling Charles, you know, last year at the free agency deadline, everybody was wondering what people, were willing to give to the Grizzlies to give up Tyreek. They didn't end up making a deal with anybody, and I think he walked for nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? their bench was really well-rounded.
Yes, it was.
Despite running a 9-man rotation.
I can't believe
you heard that right. 9 dudes. That's not even a full bench of players.
No, that's not even 2 teams. You can't even have a scrimmage in practice if only 9 people show up.
It's absurd. but they did. 3 of those bench dudes really showed out. Double digits. Tyreek, which we mentioned. Doug McDermott, a.k.a. Dougie Buckies.
He started out so hot, dude.
Finished with 17 points. And Sabonis with the kind of Andre Drummond-ish stat line of 13-16-6.
Yeah.
I love a more rebounds than points performance from a center.
You know you're working hard.
Oh, yeah. before we get into the Clipper stats, I just want to ask a quick question. Do you think Miles Turner and Sabonis can coexist on the same team?
And be
and both reach their full potential?
Probably not.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Sabonis having a great year.
I don't think they can really play on the floor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like staggering them, just with both where they are at their athletic prowess right now, like not quite their peak yet, but approaching.
Close.
I just feel like taking minutes from one or the other is at the detriment of the other dude.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird situation.
Yeah, and sure, you can like have a situation like where, yes, you get to stagger him a little bit more, and if one guy doesn't have it one night, you know, the other guy will.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, I don't know, they threw a lot of money at Miles Turner, so I think it's a question worth asking.
I think what would probably make it easier is if you played with more than a 9-man rotation.
Ah,
so you can see how pieces fit better.
That's a hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take.
Playing with more than 9 men. Interesting.
Yeah, I think that probably has something to do with it. For the Clippers, Danilo Gallinari led the way with 24-2-3.
Yeah.
Fantastic performance. What was his 7th game with 20-plus?
I believe so.
In a row, which is great. Should we, you have a note in here, should we use him more in the post?
Yeah, I was thinking we should use him on like on more post-ups. Obviously, he's great from three.
And also, I will like to say, I mean, the meatball lineup, we haven't seen the meatball lineup.
We haven't seen nearly enough of
it. We haven't mentioned in a while, if you're new to the pod or you haven't heard us say it, the meatball lineup is anytime Gallo is playing center.
Yeah. And what had me thinking about this
best
is
name
like,
you've come up with all year, I would say.
Definitely. The Clippers are pretty efficient on post-ups.
Yes.
And I think that, I mean, most of that is Trez. Given.
Yeah.
However, I do think that Gallo, last night, I wanted to see Gallo post up more on Miles Turner. I really think that he could have either like scored, drawn a foul, or like his vision for the game is so good. I think that he'd be good to use as like a passing big in like a small lineup.
Yeah, kind of get him at the top of the key, kind of let the offense flow around him and he makes the decision. I like that. Thad Young couldn't really stop him. 5-9 shooting for Gallo, 65% of the possessions that Thad Young guarded him.
Shea looked really good.
Man, he 17-3-3 with 2 steals.
Another 2 steals.
I said this a week ago or so that I think in a couple years Shea could be up there for averaging the most steals in the league.
Yeah.
It's definitely
he's had
doable.
Multiple games now with like 2+.
Yeah. Patrick Beverly had 10-4-5, 0 turnovers.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's so solid. He had the biggest.
I've never been more excited for a 10-4-5 stat line in my life.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, you know how we like talked a lot of shit about unstatable earlier in the season, and I'm not going to bring up again why.
He who shall not be named.
You guys
must
might
be named.
Familiar. But like Patrick Beverly truly.
He's the
sometimes unstatable.
One. He's the unstatable.
And it still shows up, though, in the plus minus. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not completely unstatable.
Unstatable, yet statable.
Yeah. So he finished with a +9, which was higher than anybody else by a solid margin. As we said, got that great highlight reel crossover. My only detriment to Patrick Beverly's performance last night is he didn't really slow down Bojan that much.
Yeah, that's because Bojan's really good.
He's larger.
Way bigger.
He's a lot bigger. He guarded Bogdanović for 45% of his total possessions, and Bogdanović went 5 of 7 on those possessions.
He played well. Big Zoo had 12-9-1, 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
Not good.
Rough.
But he shot 67%.
Much better field goal percentage than we've seen lately. Hopefully those hands are getting a little bit more limber.
Yeah.
He also defended Miles Turner better than anyone else. Miles Turner did not have a big game, but Zoo did hold him to 1 of 4, kind of playing him off the floor, essentially.
Yeah.
And I'm a little surprised we didn't see more Zoo minutes, but I think it's because they started relying more heavily on Sabonis. And that's clearly...
For sure.
That's clearly a Trez matchup.
Yeah, it's a Trez matchup, and, I mean... This bleeds well. Trez had himself a night.
Oh, yeah.
When Trez is playing like that, you can't take him out.
I said this in the preview. Trez was poised to have a big night, and he delivered.
20-12-2 with 2 clutch steals.
Yeah. I thought those were, I mean, honestly, those were some of the highlights to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're a big steals guy.
Yeah.
Lou Will, I like this. Lou Will had a humble 11-1-9. Not a good shooting night. 0-5 from 3. 29% field goal percentage. Doesn't matter.
Passing great, like game was great though. 9 assists. I mean, I feel like people talk about Lou Will just being a scorer, and they're idiots.
His scoring or his distribution this year is phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's better than any year I think he's been in the league.
Absolutely.
Because he's got the freedom.
Big Donnie, aka Donnie with the shits, McClain, just went into a little bit how deadly and effective the Trez and Lou pick and roll has been. couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
In isolations, we're in the top 10, I'm pretty sure, in the league. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a big part of just those two guys.
Yeah, my favorite part of Don McLean calling the game last night was they panned over to John McEnroe, who was wearing a Stanford hat, and Don McLean goes, "Ah, John McEnroe wearing the Stanford hat, huh? Only went there a year." Just roasting.
Very funny. Roasting on a national broadcast.
On a national broadcast. Jermichael Green put together another
just a strong performance.
A string of right place, right time performances. 9-4-1.
Didn't shoot the ball from three as effectively as I would have liked. He went 1 of 3, which is kind of a big reason that we want him is to, take those open shots.
But he's
still
the threat.
He's still the threat. And he does always find ways to contribute.
Yeah,
he did foul out,
We watched the game last night, and
I knew that he was in foul trouble.
We might have been picking up pizza, but
I knew that he was in foul trouble. I didn't realize it until I was looking at the box score. But just this Jermichael Green playing so well transitioned into what I want to talk about next is if we can only keep one, who are we keeping from the trade deadline between Green, Chandler, and Garrett Temple?
Green. 100%.
It has to be Green. Temple had a rough night. He had the worst plus minus of the night with -3. He finished with 4-1-2. He got torched by Tyreke Evans, allowing him to go 4 of 5, and he guarded him for like 50% of his total possessions.
Yeah, that's not good. Shout out to Sindarius Thornwell. He only got 31 seconds of playing time. However, it was 10 of those seconds were the most productive seconds you could have in this game. He got subbed in for Lou late in the game.
Yeah.
The game was borderline decided, but still had a window for the Pacers. 8 seconds later, grabs a loose ball from Bogdanovich and gets the ball to Shea, who then gets fouled and hits the final free throws.
Yeah.
Well, one of the two free throws. And it just, there's multiple times this year where Sindarius has been put in for like 12 seconds, and he will make a positive defensive contribution.
He's so effective. And that's why I bring up the which of these trade deadline guys are we keeping, because I feel like, obviously, in playoff scenarios, despite Doc saying that he trusts all of these guys, mm-hmm. like Jerome, like Sin, like Tywall, in a playoff situation, these vets are the guys that we're most likely going to see.
Yeah, and I don't think he trusts Tywall anymore, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and I think that we'll have gotten a very large sample size.
Yes.
So I don't know if we can't go with all three if we're going to develop these young guys.
Definitely. Yeah, I think they're great. I think a couple of them are great. I think Chandler and Temple are kind of good stopgaps right now. We lost rebounding, 46-39.
Yeah, not great.
Surprising. We lost three-point percentage, 33-29%. I'm happy about that. We still won. I mean, it sucks we lost percentage, but like the fact that I would not have thought we would win a game in which we, A, shoot 29%. It's just incredible. We are now 29-10 when we make 10 or more threes.
Yeah. I'm surprised that we even have 10 losses.
Yeah. They killed us in the paint, 52-62, but we got to the line pretty well.
Yeah. We shot 27 attempts to their 17.
Which is huge. Against that defensive team, that's so big.
Yeah.
And with a guy fouling out and only allowing them to get to the line 17 times.
And get this, both teams had the same amount of personal fouls.
Weird.
Shooting fouls, man.
They'll bite you. So Shea, I think both kind of surprised us with his speed.
Yeah.
I say speed questioning because I understand that Shea is fast, but he's one of those guys who doesn't look like he's working hard in a good way.
Yeah, he's like, I think a lot more of his game kind of relies on like tempo shifts.
Deceptive speed.
And like slinkiness. He's not the most athletic point guard.
For sure.
The past couple years.
Okay.
He just isn't, period.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's I think that he has just learned so much. We see him finishing around the rim so much more efficiently.
He's not getting rejected once a game.
On other attempts, he definitely would have gotten blocked. Like I said, like that, whatever it is, whether it's the tempo changes or he is just getting faster, like last night, he looked quick.
There were a couple layups where he just beat his man straight out. He just sprinted straight to the basket and got him. One of my favorite stats from this game, in the final 4 minutes and 21 seconds, Shea was responsible of the game. So in
clutch.
Quantifiable clutch time, Shea was responsible for 7 of our final 11 points.
Yeah.
The fact that we can lean on a rookie to be this clutch in a game against this opponent these days?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We are blessed to have Shea on our team.
Yeah.
As Will mentioned, Trez had 20 and 12. Sabonis could not stop this man. 4-7 shooting when guarded by him. 2-3 against Miles Turner.
Yeah.
Helped us out when the team was looking down in the dumps.
Yeah.
A common thread that we've seen this year.
Definitely.
Which has been great.
I like this Sabonis-Trez standoff, too, because they had pretty similar numbers. Sabonis actually guarded Trez a little bit more efficiently than Trez guarded him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Let's talk about the Indiana turnovers.
Yeah. So, this team...
They had a fat dub of turnovers. They had 20 turnovers.
Which I did not expect.
No.
And I feel like we didn't punish them hard enough in that regard.
Agreed.
We did outscore them on the fast break, 19-8.
Woop, woop.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just thought that this... It's
20 turnovers is a game that you should be out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
If our I will say if the Clippers turn the ball over 20 times, we're usually pretty well out of it.
But...
Credit to the Pacers.
Big reason they stayed in this game was their bench outscored ours.
Yep.
53-46.
Close, at least.
Close, yeah.
But
still surprising.
Still, I mean, a big loss from the bench. Is Ty Wall banished to the Shadow Realm?
Man, I just...
He seems to be, dude.
No.
Another... DNP with no real end in sight.
Yeah.
Wilson Chandler went 1 of 5, was somehow +2. But in times when we need offense, Ty Wall needs to be out there instead of Wilson Chandler.
Or Shamit, which we can talk about a little bit later. So, yeah, we talked about Bojan falling down and some crucial moments.
He needs new shoes. It's the shoes, right?
Yeah. Must be.
He had a great second half.
Yeah.
And then he just fell twice.
Definitely.
What? Anyway.
I don't get it.
Inexcusable.
But going off the Wilson Chandler thing, like something that we need to address is that we are creating some really beautiful looks that aren't resulting in points.
Yes.
Shamit had a little bit of a rough night. He went 2 of 8 from the field, finished with 6-2-2. I think that he's definitely going to bounce back.
He's a shooter.
He's a shooter. Yeah. It
real
just
hooper,
happens.
If you will.
Yeah. I just think, though, that Sham probably should have gotten some of Wilson Chandler's minutes in this.
I
realize they don't play the same position. I'm well aware.
I don't know about that.
But he should have just gotten some of those sets. So
that's the thing. It's Wilson Chandler, I think, is getting a little bit of veteran love because Doc does tend to favor veterans more.
And he does need time. I will also say, to Doc's credit, man, he's got to get some time to figure it out. He's been off the court for a long time.
Yeah, he does need the time for sure. But... Just there's some times where...
In a game this close...
We need...
I want young guys getting those minutes.
Yeah. Or someone who's a
even
clear
if it's
offensive
a loss.
Threat. Maybe not if it's a
even
loss.
Even in a loss.
I don't know about this time of year.
And the last thing I just want to touch on is the double-edged sword of the last few games. We've been winning thirds.
Yeah. But not winning fourths.
But losing fourths. we got outscored 34-26 in the fourth. And this became a close game despite having a 17-point lead.
I got a weird metaphor for you that I just thought of. Our third and fourth situation is like, you know when you're sitting in a chair when you're a kid and you're kind of trying to balance and like there's two legs that touch the ground at the same time but two legs that don't because it's kind of an off chair?
Yeah.
And you're kind of balancing one side and like one side keeps touching, the other side keeps touching. One side is our third quarter, one side is our fourth quarter, and
we got to choose.
We're overbalancing right now maybe.
Yeah.
And I think this is the right time to be figuring it out.
Yeah.
I think we got not too many games left. We got a big road trip and then most home games after that. So I think we're just going to be in the middle of figuring out. We got some good, we play the Knicks and the Cavs on the road. Those are teams where we can figure this out.
Still,
tempo-wise.
It's also still a relatively fresh team that's been assembled. But anyways, that does it for this real meaty recap of the
recap of
the Pacers game. So next we're going to get into our Wednesday segment, which is what could have been Wednesday.
What could have been, man?
But first... Charles, did you know that you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year?
I had absolutely no idea until you just told me that.
Well, guess what, idiot? Newsflash, you can.
God, I'm so stupid.
DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, and they have a totally free bracket.
Free?
Free, dude, with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tourney. Might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. So you know how brackets work, don't you, Charles?
Yes.
Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick a winner of every game, for every round.
Yeah.
So all there is to it.
So, like, the Grizzlies are going to beat the University of Michigan in the first round.
Of course. Biggest upset.
Can't wait, baby.
Murder everyone's bracket. but that's all there is to it. And the best part is you can play for free at DraftKings with promo code DRIBBLE.
Dribble.
It's D-R-I-B-B-L-E, in case you don't know how to spell. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. So download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use code DRIBBLE to enter the Bracket Battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to enter the battle. Oh, man, that is a tongue twister.
Oh, yeah.
The Bracket Battle for free only at DraftKings. The game inside the game.
So we got a pretty brief what could have been Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
This has to do with kind of the rumors yesterday about Doc having a mutual interest with the Lakers. Anyway, Doc absolutely murdered those rumors.
Yeah.
He took those
rumors. There's multiple footage
outside
from our colleagues at the press conference.
He took those rumors outside and he beat them to death in the middle of the street. his quote last night, "Magic and I are very close friends, but that's what we are." Early in this year, Steve Ballmer and I both decided, let's end this thing. He's referring to the opt-out clause. Extend and make it a longer deal. I'm here. My job is not done here. Despite this definitive quote,
yeah,
7:10 a.m. ESPN LA referred to this as coach speak and cited guys who've left organizations after saying things like this. They are bad at their job and need to stop grasping at these straws.
ESPN LA.
Yes.
7:10 a.m.
7:10 a.m. Why are they still talking? He squashed it.
He squashed it. What were the arguments they were citing?
I don't know. Someone, I think they're probably going to be citing when Nick Saban, probably he left from the Dolphins to the University of Alabama.
Okay.
That was a big deal. There was another college football coach who did the same thing. Anyway.
Were any of those teams as poised as the Clippers?
No. None of them.
I mean, I think it's one thing if
and
it's
none
like,
of them had a relationship with the owner as close as Ballmer and Doc do. Doc used to be an executive. Like.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. I hope today is the last day we talk about it.
Yeah, let's
be done.
I don't
usually get this fired up.
No, it's just, it's I don't know. It's moronic. And obviously, like, you got to drudge up stuff to talk about. But
there's
like,
so much other stuff to talk about.
There's also so much more stuff just about the Clippers you could talk about.
That's what's disrespectful about it, is that there's not.
Like, the narrative is still about the Lakers, which we're going to talk on more in our second segment. But we got to air it.
There's just no, there needs to be more Clippers fans, or not even fans, people who actually follow the team in
sports media.
Sports media, anyway. Yeah. So the what could have been, we got a couple minutes here to do this. What could have been had we not signed Doc to the extension? Who do you think Ballmer looks for coaching-wise, and how do you think the team would react?
So are you saying in this scenario we're
he's done after next year in this scenario.
And we're not renewing him?
And we did not sign him to an extension. This is the darkest timeline, by the way.
This is very dark.
Yeah, this is bad.
And you know, like, I was an idiot like two seasons ago, I was like, you know what? I don't know if this Doc thing is working out.
After last season
he completely changed my mind.
If you didn't change your mind last season, I don't know what you're watching.
Yeah.
We had no business winning 42 games last season.
Yeah.
If we don't sign, who do you think we look for if we don't sign Doc to an extension?
Well, I think if things hadn't shaken out like they did with the Knicks, I think Fizdale would probably be a strong candidate.
Oh, I like that.
On that list, especially just because we played against the Grizzlies.
He likes Data, though. Or he doesn't like Data, though. And we like Data.
He doesn't dislike Data.
Yeah, but he's not the biggest fan of it. He said, take that for... How do you like that for Data? Anyone who's going on diatribes against Data.
It wasn't a diatribe on Data.
It's a diatribe.
It was about the unfair reffing.
I know. My pick... Becky Hammon.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
I think, first of all, she's a great coach. She's learned under Pop. There's no better person you would want to hire, I think, in terms of someone who has a teach like that. She knows how to coach. She has respect of players. And I think Ballmer would understand, yeah, it's a new regime.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the first female head coach.
Yeah.
She'd be great.
Yeah.
I hope she gets a coaching job somewhere. Not in the Western Conference. I still want to go up against her team. How do you think the team would have reacted had we not signed Doc to an extension?
That's hard.
I think they would be upset.
Yeah. So it would be over after this year?
After next season.
Oh, that's right. After next season. The thing is I just don't know
bummed.
Why. Unless a team is really doing poorly, I don't know why you would let a coach go 2 years into the development of rookies that are like
his,
that are his, and like that are poised to be cornerstones of a franchise.
Oh well, this is the Arlo universe, bro.
I know.
This
sounds
is where,
bad.
This is where negative Chuck.
It sounds bad.
It is bad. Thankfully, that didn't happen. We locked him up to an extension, the terms of which are still undisclosed.
Yeah,
no one knows how much money Doc makes a year.
Well, he's making $11 million this year.
What about after this year?
Not sure. Probably double that.
I think it's around 15.
It doubles every year.
Yeah, I think it's around 15. I bet Ballmer hit him with like 4 for 60.
Worth every penny. I think it's fine
as long as he's not running the front office.
Yeah.
However, he did hire Lawrence Frank.
Yes,
which
and
is
I also think
friend.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Like I think that maybe people are of the mind that they could lure Doc away if they gave him front office stuff.
He said he doesn't even want that anymore.
I just think now that he's gotten...
He said it was too stressful.
And now that he's gotten to view both sides of it, and he's back to, I don't want to say just coaching, but being able to focus solely on coaching, he's just been so effective. I don't know why you would want to go back. I don't know why you'd want the scrutiny, especially
with Jerry
for a
West.
Team that's such a shit show like the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, and also, you'd be leaving a team where Jerry West and Lawrence Frank are kind of your front office, and you're like, well, I think I can do it better than these guys. Which I don't think that's how Doc thinks. Coming up, we just got some Clippers chatter for a few minutes. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On Podcast Network podcasts,
which you should be,
you can check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates all the feeds. You get longer kind of stories in the Instagram story feature, which is great. Also, you need to check out the podcasting app Himalaya. It has curated podcast playlists. We're on there. All the other Locked On podcasts are on there. You can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Clippers while you're cleaning. That's what I make all of my family members do, so we get those listening numbers up. Again, that is Himalaya. You need to check it out. So this is just some brief clips chatter. What do we got to do to get some positive attention from the national media?
No clue.
I think we have to win 3 championships in a row. Somehow over the Lakers.
Yeah.
I think it needs to somehow happen over the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just understand. I do understand, I guess, that it's a Lakers city. It's not, though. It's called Los Angeles.
I'd say it's a Lakers city.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
You know, LA our way, someone once told me. it is egregious because I like that point you made about how there's so many positive things being talked about other than complete conjecture about Doc leaving.
Despite
we're starting three guys under the age of 22.
Yeah.
We have two of them are rookies who are contributing fantastically.
Yes.
Shea's hitting clutch shots.
One is just at the end of a rookie contract.
Yes. One of them is playing with two fingers that don't move.
Yeah.
We have the first player who's going to average over 20 points while playing less than 27 minutes a game in Lou Williams.
Yeah.
We have an argument for the most improved player in Montrezl Harrell and in the Sixth Man Award.
And the best bench in the league.
I don't know what...
What do we got to do? And sure, you can brush it off as saying, you know, they never got past the second round, but that was a different team.
New team, baby.
New team.
Lakers haven't made the playoffs in 6 years and have the worst record in the NBA over the last 6 years. The worst.
The worst, yeah.
Percentage-wise...
So take that for data.
Percentage-wise is the worst. And usually we don't talk about... I feel like we do a good job of not pretending... Of not woe is me-ing the Clippers.
That's not who we are this year. That's not our identity.
That's not our team's identity. That's not my identity. That's not your identity.
And we're also not, like, I'm not a Laker hater. I nothing the Lakers.
It's fine.
They're another team in Los Angeles.
The only time I've really gotten hyped up is the balls thing, which is equally funny because it's
equally
also so childish.
So disrespectful.
So disrespectful. But now it's at the point where I think they're putting out these stories. I think someone from Lakers PR or whatever put out this Doc story to just drum up, I don't know, clicks.
I don't think there's some.
The
sort
only
of
reason they brought Andre Inger up was for SEO purposes. That's the only reason I brought up.
Well, like, I think it's just for clicks. It's obviously not sowing any sort of discord in our team.
No.
We're just like, we're too tight knit for that.
Yeah, the team is set up like that.
Yeah.
And if you, yeah, it's just.
And I don't know. Bill Simmons put out a clip, like a poll today on Twitter saying, like, which franchise would you rather have over the next 5 years? Lakers, Clippers. It was overwhelmingly Clippers, which did honestly surprise me.
Yes.
Just because, I don't know, I just we're not that well covered.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was like 65-35 or whatever.
Yeah. Math, I don't know what you're talking about.
God, my head hurts.
But people in those comments...
People in the comments got nasty about it.
Someone goes, what do the Clippers even have? And someone was like, I don't know, 43 wins, three starters under 22, $60 million in cap space, Jerry West, Lawrence Frank.
And Doc.
And Doc. And they're like, yeah, we got LeBron. That's tight. No one's discrediting LeBron in this situation.
Yeah.
We don't think he is a bad player. He's still great.
But you saw our bullet point of things that we got going for us.
You got one thing.
And then yours.
And then you have, you know.
And once again, like, I don't want to bash the Lakers. I don't care. I just care, like, when we're getting dragged. All right?
From now on, we're calling the Lakers Knicks West on this podcast.
Like, we can coexist just fine. But you come.
We were coexisting.
But you come at the Clippers, you're getting clapped back.
You're going to get clapped back, Clippers, dude. That about wraps it up for us. Thank you so much for being with us today. Again, no game till Friday, so tomorrow we're going to be doing some culture talk, some Thirsty Thursdays, general NBA scuttlebutt.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening, please review us on whatever format and platform you're listening. Give us a follow at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Clap back, Clippers fans.